Welcome to the New Books Network.
This is the Nordic Asia Podcast.
Welcome to the Nordic Asia Podcast, a collaboration sharing expertise on Asia across the Nordic region. My name is Kenneth Bo Nielsen. I am a social anthropologist based in Oslo and also one of the leaders of the Norwegian Network for Asian Studies. In this episode, we explore representations of Tibet and Tibetan culture on the global stage from the unlikeliest of vantage points, namely by looking at the Miss Tibet beauty pageant. Such pageants are often thought of as an example of what we might call lowbrow culture, and also a site of women's objectification by the male gaze. But it's also possible to see them differently as arenas where cultural meanings are produced, consumed, and rejected, and where local and global, but also ethnic and national cultural forms are engaged and showcased. So what does the Miss Tibet beauty pageant tell us about what it means to be Tibetan in a globalized world? And what understandings and representations of Tibetan culture does it produce? To discuss these issues, we're joined by Pema Chodron, herself a Tibetan, born in Sikkim in India. Her work has for many years now focused on the Tibetan diaspora scattered around the world with their center in Dharamshala in northern India. Not long ago, she also defended her PhD thesis titled Unseen Homeland, the Construction of Tibet in the Diaspora at the University of Tartu in Estonia. Welcome to the podcast, Pema, and also many belated congratulations on a successful PhD defense.
Thank you so much, Kenneth, and thank you for inviting me to the podcast.
Before we move to Miss Tibet, I wanted to ask you about one thing, and that is the diasporic condition that many or maybe even most Tibetans live with. How significant is this diasporic condition for understanding these cultural expressions of Tibetanness?
Indeed, very important. We have to go back to the history here. After the Chinese occupation of Tibet in 1959, thousands of Tibetans, among them the Dalai Lama, fled to India, Nepal, and Bhutan, and a few to the West. The occupation and the mass immigration became a collective tragedy, and have since then contributed to build an unprecedented collective sense of Tibetan identity. Early on in the exile, Tibetans attempted to eradicate the regional differences and build a collective identity with the Dalai Lama at its center. Besides the small settlements in Nepal, thanks to the government of India, numerous Tibetan settlements were established in India with their headquarters in Dharamsala, in the Himalayan foothills in northwest India. However, today there is a new phenomenon, namely an increasing movement of exiled Tibetans emigrating to the West, seeking for better economic and social opportunities. The fact of being in exile and the recent phenomenon of moving from exile in India and Nepal to a new exile in the West implies a continuous condition of being exiled. Nevertheless, over the years, the Tibetan diaspora community has, on the whole, developed a homogeneous identity. Tibetanness is, therefore, the feeling not only of belonging to one nation, but of having the same religion. Although one must remember that there is a small number of Tibetan Muslims and Christians, acknowledging the Dalai Lama as the spiritual and political leader of all Tibetans, and having the goal of achieving a free Tibet, so on. One should imagine the Miss Tibet pageant taking place in the midst of these circumstances and the diasporic condition.
But what is the history of this Miss Tibet beauty pageant? I mean, in a time when these beauty pageants seem, maybe not exactly a thing of the past, but maybe a little bit quaint at least. How did such a thing as Miss Tibet become important for the Tibetan community?
I think I agree with beauty pageant being like an old-fashioned thing, because even the Miss Tibet pageant is now fading away. Actually, Miss Tibet began in 2002 when a Tibetan man called Lobsang Wanggel realized that not many Tibetan women participate in public events. He therefore organized the Miss Tibet pageant so as to give a platform for women to participate in a public event. Since its inception, it became one of the most popular events in the community, you can see. For this reason, and also because I myself later on participated in the beauty pageant, I chose it as one of the topics of my thesis. More so, as until then, it had never been a topic of academic research. And unfortunately, the work on my thesis coincided with the COVID pandemic. And because of the lockdown throughout Europe, I could not travel or to do any conventional fieldwork. So I therefore collected my material through an online survey, as well as online interview with the former participants and others. Now, let me give you a general presentation of the pageant, which is very important. It generally had 7 to 8 rounds, very similar to many other beauty pageants. It began with a press conference where the participants were presented to many local Tibetan, as well as Indian, and sometimes even international reporters. The other rounds were a swimsuit round, public talk, talent rounds, traditional dress, and evening gown walk, ending with the question answer round, and of course, the crowning session. Since its establishment, the pageant was one of the most popular modern cultural events in the Tibetan diaspora, organized by Tibetans themselves and with only Tibetan contestants. The pageant was a colorful event. You can imagine, complete with bikinis, crowns, firecrackers, loud music, and excited audiences. Perhaps the most eagerly awaited part of the pageant was the finale night, when the silver crown was placed on the head of the winner. If we can imagine ourselves present, we would see the young woman having a triumphant look, holding the crown with one hand and waving like a queen with other, perhaps mimicking the Western beauty pageants and beaming through the flashlight, blinding her, but of course highlighting her face as she gazes into the boisterous audience, subsequently becoming the discussion for days and months among the exiled Tibetans around the world.
I mean, this is really a striking story, but also, to me at least, somewhat counterintuitive, perhaps, that this kind of Miss Tibet beauty pageant should become such a success and also an accepted cultural form. I don't mean to sound like an Orientalist here, but if we think maybe a little bit stereotypically about Tibet, we think about Buddhism, Dalai Lama, asceticism, perhaps, but certainly spiritual wisdom and these things. Huh? How did the Tibetan community come to terms with this kind of event that's so focused on and also celebrates, of course, women's bodies?
Actually, Kinet, you don't sound Orientalist, because you're absolutely right. When people in general think about Tibet and Tibetans, it is most often the Dalai Lama, Buddhism, perhaps meditation that come to mind. However, the Tibetan community cannot be defined only in this way, because it is continually engaged in a process of adaptation, rejection, and transformation in their relations to the society of their host countries. Therefore, there are many issues in Tibetan communities which are controversial and contested. The Miss Tibet pageant is just that one of these events, because, as I will explain, that it touches on fundamental question of what it is or should be to be a Tibetan in exile, basically. Although the pageant was very successful, there were also many Tibetans who were against it. During my online survey in 2021, the majority regarded the pageant positively. However, this is probably the result of a development almost over 2 decades, I think. Probably at the outset, there were many more who were against it. It must have shocked them to see Tibetan women wearing bikinis, you know, thinly clad bikinis or swimming costume. Indeed, the winner of Miss Tibet 2002, the first Miss Tibet pageant, recalled Tibetan as at that time being furious, you see. As for how Tibetans came to terms with this event has to do with time, because with time, the Tibetans learned its importance for the larger cause of a struggle for a free Tibet. When it first took place, international news reporters were perhaps more interested in the pageant than the Tibetans themselves were. In any case, it became a huge success and may have taken many Tibetans by surprise. Perhaps this was because the pageant, which was meant by the organizer for entertainment, suddenly became a political protest against the Chinese occupation. The news reporters and the media caught the attention of the people around the world. The winner not only won the title, but was able to compete in international pageants, further emphasizing the Tibetan cause, you see. So a beauty pageant was not only an entertainment event, but became politically and socially important for many Tibetans, although it was controversial. So much so that Dalai Lama jokingly once said that if we have Miss Tibet, then there should be Mr. Tibet too. Actually, in 2017, a group photograph was taken with the Dalai Lama surrounded by that year's contestants.
I suppose this controversy, I mean, although it's changed over time, essentially has something to do with what visions or what versions of Tibetan culture, if we can use that term, that these different segments of the Tibetan community think should or shouldn't be represented to the world.
I think it is not as simple as that, Gneth, because the controversy stems from two segments of the community. One is traditionalist. I would rather call it traditionalist than conservative here. And other, the feminist. The notorious comment from one of these critics came from the then prime minister in exile, Samdong Rinpoche, and he's a monk, who critiqued it as un-Tibetan, quote-unquote un-Tibetan, you know, and quote-unquote again, against the Buddhist principles. So you can imagine the question you have asked me the previous, you're not Orientalist, actually. At the same time, a few years ago, we saw not only traditionalist, but also some Tibetan feminist who were against the pageant, accusing it of objectifying women's body. And now you have to imagine that Tibetan feminist is a new phenomenon in the Tibetan community in exile. However, there seems to be a divide in opinion among the feminists too. For example, because there are some feminists who support it on the grounds of it promoting women's agency or empowering young women. However, the traditionalist view of the pageant still remained today. In 2011, the former Prime Minister Samdong Lobsang Senge, although he had a PhD in international law from Harvard, said that he was not against the beauty pageant, but that he felt uncomfortable seeing Tibetan women in bikinis. One can surely say that it is the bikini session that the two completely different critiques meet, the feminist and the traditionalist. And even among Tibetans who support the pageant, some were against the bikini session. In that way, the controversy lies in the question of how Tibetan women should or should not be presented and how a sacred Tibetan culture can be presented to the world through their bodies, you see. The controversy continues because women like me still want to participate. If I remember correctly, there was a Miss Tibet participant who said that if she was given a chance, she would join the pageant again. And if possible, she would be the director of the Miss Tibet herself. I remember a young Tibetan woman from Darjeeling in India who contacted me several years ago when I was the pageant holder at that time, that she wanted to participate in the pageant, but she feared her father's reaction. Nonetheless, there are many women who participate in spite of such obstacles. This shows that the pageant, in a way, gives a means to break away from constrictive society for this young woman.
This is what I was curious to hear a little bit more about, these motivations among these young Tibetan women who still choose to participate in this pageant, despite all the controversy and criticism from some quarters. And I know, I mean, that the story of this also becomes a personal story, because as you mentioned, you were part of this some years back. If I can ask you that as a personal question, I mean, why did you, but maybe also others like you, choose to become part of this?
It's rather surprising to me, but maybe at the same time, not surprising. that no amount of controversy has been able to stop young Tibetan women from participating. There are many reasons why a young Tibetan woman may want to join the Miss Tibet pageant. However, the two reasons were given by almost all the pageant participants. Firstly, that it empowers them. And secondly, that it helps them to promote the political cause of their occupied homeland on an international arena. And this is exciting. In this way, they feel one way or another proud for being a role model for the other young Tibetan women and stand for their political struggle. You see, there's nothing greater than that. At this point, I would like to thank you for questioning my personal experience of the Miss Tibet, because this gives me a chance to say what I didn't write in my thesis. The fact that I had won the title in 2015 made me feel that writing about myself in the article would be like blowing my own trumpet, you know, hey, hello, see ya. I've won the pageant. Moreover, in interviewing my participant, all the participants, like most of them, I felt that my opinion merged with theirs. But if I look back, I think I participated because I felt that I had the means of speaking in public and that perhaps I had a chance to win. Everybody wants to win. However, while in the process of participating, now this is interesting, I felt that it gave me, as a Tibetan woman, a chance to advocate Tibetan feminist view, as I was influenced by Western feminist literatures at the time. Because I have taken my bachelor in English literature in Delhi University, I never felt that I was pretty like other girls, but someone who liked to analyze and read and talk. And on top of that, I was different from most young Tibetan women, or say Tibetan women in general. I was loud, talkative, fearless. I was exactly the contrary of the feminine ideal in Tibetan culture and society. In winning the pageant, I indirectly and directly tried advocating through social media, because I have many followers in social media. I tried to advocate a woman's worth for her inner qualities and skills and education rather than her external appearances. However, while I participated in an international beauty pageant in the Philippines with many participants from around the world, you see, then I quickly realized, oh, I was representing my lost homeland nation. It isn't about me anymore. It is about Tibet. I think these kind of thinking was at that time why many Tibetans wanted to participate in the pageant.
So how would you say, I mean, you mentioned now the Philippines as one such more global stage for this pageant. How would you say that it ended up displaying what we spoke about in the beginning as the sort of collective identity of the lost homeland of the Tibetan nation?
You see, Kinet, indeed, the collective identity is the core issue that I have discussed at length in my thesis. And it is also the core issue in the community itself. Although the pageant started as an entertainment event, the Miss Tibet pageant couldn't escape the political question of Tibet and the Tibetans. Although the traditionalist Tibetans were against the bikini session of the pageant, also feminists, including some feminists, say, not a huge number. While in the international pageant, the Miss Tibet became a challenge for China. In fact, by participating side by side with the Chinese contestant in international pageants, the Miss Tibet contributed and reinforced the differences between Tibetan and Chinese. So much so that the Chinese even intervened, you know, to stop the Tibetan Miss Tibet Award winner from participating in international pageant. For example, with Miss Tibet 2006, Miss Tibet 2007, and I think of 2011 as well. Yes. For instance, the Chinese intervention in the participation of Miss Tibet 2006 in Miss Earth Beauty Pageant, I think, became a front page news, a very big news. That's when one sees that the pageant goes beyond the issue of physical appearances of these women or about their bodies, both locally and internationally, I think it helped in representing the Tibetan identity. Especially in the finale night, there were thousands of Tibetans, as well as curious non-Tibetans present from all over India and also all over the world. Among Tibetans, it generates a sense of collectivity, a feeling of sharing a unique homogeneous culture and language, signifying a unified nation, Tibet, consisting of the three main regions of Tibet. The pageant helped in reimagining the distant and lost homeland nation. When the young participants wearing different regional costumes with elaborated head dresses and traditional boots walked on the ramp, one could see the faces of Tibetans lightened up, making it possible to grasp their unified identity as Tibetans. However, after organizing the Miss Tibet pageant for 16 years, beginning from 2002 to the last one that was held in New York in 2018, the pageant has somehow gone into a limbo state after the pandemic. It hasn't taken place since then. But Lobsang Wanghel has also had not said specifically that he doesn't want to organize again. No matter what, it served its purpose as long as it lasted and left its mark in the community. The struggle for free Tibet and the unity among Tibetans, no matter how far they live from each other, continues as an overriding concern in the entire Tibetan diasporic community.
Pema Chodron, thank you so much for joining us to introduce us to Miss Tibet, but more importantly also for shedding new light on various forms of identity formation and politics among the Tibetan community. My name is Kenneth Mo Nelson, and thank you for joining the Nordic Asia podcast, showcasing Nordic collaboration in studying Asia.
You have been listening to the Nordic Asia podcast.